This is the NCARB podcast, where you get an inside look at licensure, regulation, and the initiatives shaping the future of architectural practice. I'm your host, Andy McIntyre, Vice President of Marketing and Communications at NCARB. And this season, we're diving into Pathways to Practice, NCARB's multi-year effort to rethink how architects become licensed.
Architecture is the hardware to the software of life, right? It is fundamentally about that interaction, and it makes life easier if we have a built environment that works.
Across 8 episodes, we'll explore how licensure got to where it is today and where it needs to go next. We talk with architects, educators, regulators, and NCARB leaders about education, experience, and the exam, and why each of those pillars is evolving.
And that portion of school where you go from conceptual to real is also really challenging. It's not something you're really gently moved into. It's kind of like you're doing something that's flowy and crazy, and all of a sudden, wait, you actually have to make this work.
You'll hear how the NCARB competency standard was developed, how research is shaping future licensure models, and what a more flexible, competency-based approach could mean for candidates from a wide range of backgrounds.
So we've seen that in our data as the number of reciprocal licenses starts to decrease a little bit, but that number of individuals who are licensed holds steady.
We also tackle the big questions. Why does licensure look the way it does today? Where do candidates face the biggest barriers? And how can we expand access without lowering standards?
Not everybody fits into the same mold. And so having different pathways to licensure, I think, is really important.
Whether you're a licensure candidate, an educator, a firm leader, or a regulator, this season offers clarity, context, and transparency into one of the most important conversations facing the profession.
Does this requirement to complete all divisions of the exam place an unfair burden on any one group or other?
This is Pathways to Practice, only on the NCARB podcast. Please follow the link in the show notes, subscribe now, and join us as we explore the future of architectural licensure.
My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. Today's guest is Casper Staniel, founder and CEO of My Architect AI. Casper brings a practical, grounded perspective to AI in architecture focused on helping architects work faster without sacrificing design intent. He's built a browser-based rendering tool that removes technical friction and makes high-quality visualization accessible to small firms and solo practitioners. With a background in SaaS and marketing and product strategy, Casper understands both the promise of AI and the real business realities of running a small studio. In this conversation, we're going to talk about where AI genuinely helps architects, where caution is warranted, and how architects can adopt these tools thoughtfully. Casper Staniel, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Mark. Glad to be here.
Oh, it's good to have you here. Let's start off with your origin story. So go back as far as you want to go back. When did you discover your passion for what you do today, and who or what inspired you to get it all started?
Yeah, sure. So I will start by saying that I don't have any background in architecture or interior design whatsoever. My background's in marketing for software companies, where I spent the first 8 or 9 years of my professional career. And after switching from full-time job to working on my own projects, I 2 years ago, around when the whole AI craze was starting, I was looking for some new venture because I was just kind of burned out and bored with what I was doing previously. I came into this opportunity of a developer who was trying to sell his previous project, which is Architect AI. And I discussed with him a little and eventually acquired this little project, which was little back then, from him. Took over, found a co-founder who is my current CTO and AI engineer. And that's when we started working on my Architect AI. And it's been around 2 years since we started. And we've been growing really fast since then.
How did you meet the original developer?
Yes. So initially I was working on the project myself, but I needed something more technical that I wasn't able to do myself. So I was looking for freelancers and came across Jenya, who became later my co-founder. We did a couple of projects together in the beginning, but then she just suggested that maybe we could do this for the long term because she doesn't want to do freelance anymore. So we decided to join forces, and it was a really good decision.
So did Virginia, your CTO, did she develop the original product, or did somebody else develop the original product and then you guys came in and took it over?
Yeah, so the original product, the very early version, was developed by the initial developer who I acquired the product from. But back then, at the moment of acquisition, it only had, I think, 5 customers. So it was just a very early stage product.
So 2 years ago. So just we have some context. Tell me what My Architect AI does.
Yes. So My Architect AI is a rendering program for architects and designers, which helps them visualize their designs faster and easier than with traditional non-AI powered tools. So you don't need to have any kind of 3D experience. If you know how to create a model in SketchUp, you can just bring your design to our tool, click render button, and you'll have a photorealistic image in 10 to 20 seconds.
So you've been working on it for 2 years. And so I'm assuming that you've learned lots about architects and how architects work and how architects think and some of their thoughts and concerns about AI. What do you think small firms struggle with most when it comes to rendering and visualization in general? You know, without AI, just as a profession, what are some of the things that we're struggling with in terms of getting those quality renderings?
Yes. So what I hear most from our users is that traditional rendering tools like V-Ray, Lumion, and so on are just too difficult to use and too time-consuming, especially for small studios where they don't have a dedicated rendering person on their team. And if, for example, the founder is supposed to do it themselves, it just doesn't make sense because of the amount of time it takes. And also, a lot of people just don't have this experience and skills to create something really worth sharing with their clients. Because even if you know how to use the software, you need a lot of practice to create something worth sharing. And for larger firms, the problem is that don't have a dedicated visualization person on their team who outsource to first-party rendering companies. The cost is just too much because paying from a couple hundred to a couple thousand dollars per project, it's just not viable. While with AI-powered tools, you can do this for a fraction of the cost. So this is one of the main things that many users mentioned to me.
Yeah. And from my understanding, it's a browser-based tool. So it doesn't need to be installed on your computer. There's no complex setup. Why was it important to develop it that way and not like a traditional software package?
Yeah, that's another huge point because you can run it on any device without the strong GPU that traditional renderers require. And when you don't have a powerful workstation, you just can't render at all, or it will be so sluggish that it will take hours and hours. So like our goal from the beginning was to make it as accessible as possible to anyone, both skills, powerful workstation, and a huge budget. So making it web-based was kind of an obvious choice. And the good thing about AI models is that they are compatible with modern web browsers and they are not as resource intensive as traditional renderers.
I think when architects hear about AI and learn about AI, there's quite a bit of misunderstanding and fear around AI that it may replace the creative side of what we do. How do you respond to that? What is your thought? How do you frame AI's role differently?
Yeah, that's a very common concern. The thing is that the funny part is that it actually makes you more creative because you can experiment much quicker and you can discover many different concepts in a much shorter amount of time than without AI. So it's actually the opposite of what many people fear.
How does the business model work? Understanding small firms don't have a big budget for tools like this. How did you structure your pricing?
Yes. So our tool is quite accessible because we don't have any long-term contracts. So the starting price is $29 a month and you can cancel anytime. So if you don't have a lot of projects, you can just subscribe for a month, pay $29 and create unlimited renderings. And compared to, you know, paying hundreds or thousands of dollars with other solutions, it's just, you know, just worth it considering how much it improves the communication of clients. So for especially US-based firms, this is just so affordable that people rarely complain about the pricing.
What are some of the practical uses that AI can bring to an architecture firm? Where does AI rendering provide immediate benefit to architecture firms today?
Like I mentioned, the client communication, I think this is the main one, the main benefit that our users mention and what I hear from the community in general, because if firms can present multiple different ideas very quickly to the clients and improve the iteration process, it's just a huge benefit and the clients are just more happy. The firms move faster, which lets them work with more clients in the same amount of time. So everybody benefits.
Let's take a quick break to say thank you to our sponsors for their support of this episode. This episode of Entree Architect Podcast is supported by WeCollabify, one of our trusted allied partners. As this community has grown over the years, one thing has become very clear to me. The partners we choose matter. Allied partners are not sponsors. They're not advertisers. They are organizations that we've taken the time to get to know, to work alongside, and to trust. They understand the real pressures of practice and the responsibility that comes with leading a small firm. WeCollabify earned that trust by helping small firm owners address a challenge that sits at the center of long-term firm health, building capacity in a way that supports people, not just projects. Their insourcing model brings skilled design, BIM, and technical professionals directly into your team. They work in your time zone, inside your systems, and part of your day-to-day workflow. That integration allows firms to add capacity when it's needed, scale with intention, and grow without sacrificing culture, leadership focus, or quality of life. If you're thinking beyond short-term fixes and focused on building a firm that lasts, I encourage you, go learn why WeCollabify is one of our trusted allied partners. Visit WeCollabify.com/EntreeArchitect to learn more. That's WeCollabify.com/EntreeArchitect. Gain lessons learned and credits earned with Arcademy, ARCAT's continuing education program. Listen to popular episodes of the Detailed podcast and earn AIA-approved HSW credits. Yes, you heard that right, HSW credits for episodes of Detailed podcast. Listen to an episode, check out the learning objectives, and use what you've learned while listening to take the course The program is free, it's simple, and can be found at rcat.com under the Resources tab, or just go to rcat.com/arcademy. That's ARCAT.com/ARCATEMY. That's rcat.com/arcademy. Please visit our sponsors today and thank them. Thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. You had mentioned earlier that you would input a model, so a SketchUp model or BIM model. Do you have to import a model for it to work, or can it also create versions of hand sketches, or what are the different options that are the output?
So right now our tool is optimized to work with any kind of 3D view or elevation. So it can either be a CAD export, also hand sketch, anything aside from floor plans at the moment. But yeah, even something as simple as a hand-drawn sketch works.
So as long as it's 3D and can be rendered, it can be recognized and rendered?
Yes, exactly. It's just a matter of the settings, because if you have a textured model from a 3D modeling software, it's basically a one-click rendering button. You don't need to set anything. But if you have just a rough drawing or hand-drawn sketch, you just need to add a prompt, which in the AI terminology is a text description of what you want to see. So it requires a bit more work, but it's still nothing compared to traditional rendering workflows.
And then what is the output? How do you take it out of the software?
Yeah, so the output is a realistic looking image, which you can download in PNG file in up to 4K resolution. And yeah, the whole process usually takes up to 30 seconds.
What would you say is the most surprising thing that you've learned about Architect since working with them over the last couple of years?
Honestly, I was expecting architects to be more tech savvy, because I'm sometimes really surprised about the level of how good they're with computers in general. Because, you know, if you're working with 3D modeling software, which isn't super simple, I would expect that people would be comfortable with learning new software, but it's not the case. And that would be the biggest one, I think. Like, I was always expecting people to have a little bit of doubt in terms of adopting AI, because this is understandable with any big market shift. So, but this is very slowly changing as the AI technology gets stronger and stronger, basically every month. So it's going the right direction.
Yeah, for sure. I think as more people use AI tools, they're becoming more familiar with them. It's becoming part of their workflow in both business and design. And I think very rapidly, it's becoming part of the everyday office. And so I think as we become more familiar with AI tools, they will become a significant part of the workflow that we have. As a tech entrepreneur and a creator of a product like this, what do you see as the future of AI specifically for architects? And I would say not in the far future, in the next few years, what do you imagine will happen with AI in terms of architecture?
I'm really hoping that the adoption rate will be much higher than it is now, because it's still growing much slower than in many other industries. So I really hope that architects just keep adopting it quicker and at a larger scale. But the thing is with AI is that it's changing so quickly from month to month that it's really hard to predict something, you know, because if you made some prediction last year about what's going to happen this year, it's outdated already, because we already had so many new evolutions in the industry that nobody ever expected. So things are just moving faster than anyone predicted, which of course is a good thing.
Yeah, pretty amazing. What's the future for you and My Architect AI? What do you plan for it in the next couple of years?
So for now, it's looking like this year, the big thing in visualization will be interactive tours, because the technology is already there. It's not at the level of static rendering right now, but there has been some really big breakthroughs at the end of last year. And this technology called Gaussian Splats is extremely powerful. And we think that this will be the big thing in 2026.
Can you talk a little bit more about what that is?
So it is basically, imagine that you can visualize, for example, an interior space as if you are moving around in a video game where you are using your arrows and you can walk through everything smoothly without requiring the film crew to look through the whole space. This will be possible to do just based on static images. So it is possible right now, but the quality is not at the point where you would be able to show it to clients. But at this rate of progress, it's just a matter of couple months before it gets production ready.
Yeah. Tools like Apple Vision Pro and other virtual reality tools and augmented reality tools have been available. They don't seem to be advancing in the profession as much as I would have expected that they would. Do you imagine that AR and VR will become part of this visualization process in the future? Or do you think we're just going to go right past that and, you know, stick to flat screens?
Hard to say, honestly. The thing with VR and AR is that not a lot of people have the required equipment. So if a similar level of technology is available to a regular user on a laptop or a mobile phone, the adoption will be much, much easier and quicker for sure.
Yeah. So in the near future, you don't think that it'll be a big adoption for VR and AR because the additional equipment that we need to purchase?
I think so, because, you know, the technology has been already on the market for years and years. And
right,
there hasn't been any like a really peak in the adoption rate for some reason. So I haven't truly, you know, done a lot of research for the reasons behind it, but yeah, doesn't look like it at this moment.
So you had mentioned earlier that you are the marketing side of the business. What are some of the tools, you know, separate from the product and AI, what are you doing from a business point of view to gain exposure for My Architect AI? What are some of the marketing things you're doing?
So right now, our biggest channel for user acquisition is just traditional SEO blog content that brings users to our site, which is the main thing for us. But we are growing through also other channels like ads, influencers, and a couple others.
Podcasting?
Podcasting is also a small one, although I just started it recently. But yeah, still SEO is the main one.
Yeah, great. Well, it's a very interesting tool. I'm looking forward to hearing some feedback from our audience on what they think about My Architect AI. You can look at it at myarchitectai.com is the website. Before we wrap things up, Casper, as a business person, what is one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
I would say just don't be afraid of adopting new technologies. Because, like I mentioned before, compared to other industries, the level of technology adoption in architecture is at a quite low level. So if you can adopt AI, which is a huge technology shift right now, before your competitors, it can give you a big advantage. So just try new AI tools, see which ones work for you, and try to adapt them into your workflow. And the important thing is to not expect magic, you know, from just your first try. Just be patient and try to learn the tool, because the thing with a lot of users that I meet is that they spend a minute in the tool, expect all the magical things to happen, and then they end up disappointed because they haven't even spent enough time to learn it, even though it doesn't require a lot of learning, but still, spend some couple minutes to get to know the tool. And yeah, if you can do that, you can get a big advantage in today's market thanks to that.
All right. What's the best way to contact you if somebody had a question about MyArchitect AI or AI in general? What's the best way for them to reach out to you?
If you go to our website, myarchitectai.com, me and my co-founder are always available through the live chat on our website. So if you go there and want to ask anything, say hi, just reach out through there and we'll reply quickly.
All right. Perfect. His name is Casper Staniel. The company is My Architect AI, and you can learn more at myarchitectai.com. Thank you for joining us today. And Casper, thank you very much for being here to share your thoughts about your product that you're putting together and for helping us advance the technology of our profession. I appreciate it. And thanks for sharing your knowledge today at Entree Architect Podcast.
Thanks a lot. And thank you everyone for listening. It was my pleasure.
If you enjoyed this episode of Entree Architect Podcast, please share a link with a friend, because that's how we've continued to grow and serve thousands more small firm architects just like you. Thank you to our sponsors for this episode. Links to the sponsors and all the resources we discussed today, they are all available in the show notes for this episode at entrearchitect.com/podcast. Entree Architect is a proud member of the Gable Media Network. It's the multimedia network moving the architecture, engineering, and construction industries forward through the power of storytelling. You can earn AIA continuing education credits by listening to select episodes of this podcast and many others at gablemedia.com/members. And if you are a small firm architect, listen up. Join us today at Entree Architect Network. It's the worldwide community for entrepreneur architects. We've been around since 2012, and our basic level is now free to join. Yes, you can join Entree Architect Network for free. And that gives you access to valuable business resources and our global community of architects. And you can upgrade anytime for live coaching, AIA approved training, and mastermind support. So visit entrearchitect.com to learn more and to get started. My name is Mark R. LePage. Thank you for listening to the Entree Architect Podcast. Love, learn, share. Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.
Imagine earning continuing education credits while doing exactly what you're doing right now. Well, you can. Gable Media has revolutionized the way you earn your continuing education credits with a groundbreaking approach. Forget running around town and scouring the internet for credit-worthy courses. Fulfill your CE requirements effortlessly by listening to engaging podcasts just like the one you're listening to now. Our podcasts are designed to educate, entertain, and inspire, all in a user-friendly environment. But wait, there's more. Architects, Gable Media is also approved as an AIA Continuing Education Services provider. Upon completion, we handle everything, from reporting your hours directly to the AIA to storing your certificates in your personal Gable Media profile for your self-reporting needs. So follow the link in the show notes and start earning your credits in the most innovative and entertaining way possible with Gable Media.